Well, I mentioned the people a little bit like scousers where we are. One of them in particular, Alphonse, a real practical joker, likes to have a laugh and taught me many things about the culture, showed me many of the secrets actually that were in the culture. He showed me about the masks and how they make these costumes out in the jungle, and he showed me many of those things. Well, Alphonse was a very good friend, and we'd spend a lot of time together, many hours and days and weeks, just talking about things, being out in the jungle and fishing and in the garden, and just seeing, living with them and seeing them. And Alphonse knew me really well. And so I was a little bit taken aback when about 3 weeks before we were about to teach, he was talking to me with Thaddeus, the man you saw in the picture, and he basically said, "Well, we still think your dead ancestors come back to life." And I must say, I knew that they had these beliefs, but I was surprised that after all the time we'd spent with them, having seen my parents, them having seen Bill's parents, them having seen that we're real human beings, that we bleed, that we sweat, that we're just like them, we get tired. Despite all of that, at the end of the day, the worldview hadn't changed. And because, according to their worldview, we were dead people come back, that's what they continue to believe. And actually, at the same time, one of Bill's language helpers, a man called Henry, who again, he'd spent hours with this man, he too said, "Yeah, Bill, we think, years ago, you were one of us, you died, went in the ground, and you've come back now." And Bill and I were talking and saying, what is going to change this kind of worldview? Every sickness they have is caused by the spirits. When they fish, when they hunt, when they plant their gardens, when their children grow, everything depends on worshipping the spirits and offering sacrifices to the spirits. How can you change that? How can you change that kind of the thinking that there is there, the fear? And as Bill and I were talking, we were saying, well, all we have now is God's word. We don't have anything else left. We don't have any clever arguments. We don't have any try and educate them and do this and do that. We tried what we could, little bits of education, and tried to show them things. Didn't work. Didn't change their worldview. And yet, this book that you have before you, which is a great privilege, by the way, to have the word of God in our language, thousands of languages around the world, not a word of scripture, yet we have it here in entirety in our hands. This book was able to transform and change their lives and their whole way of thinking, their community, their life together, for the good. Not for change for change's sake, but it was able to show them and turn them from darkness to light. So this book you've got before you is God's words. God has written down what happened in this universe and what is going to happen in this universe. And it will never change. This word is the only thing in this room, apart from you, that will last forever. This building will be gone, the chairs that you're sitting on will be gone, but in eternity, God's word will remain and you will remain. Now, as we look at this word together, I hope that we can see light from God's word. Just before we start in Genesis chapter 1, I'd like to go back to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4 and verse 6. And Paul, who was a follower of Jesus Christ, he, in this little passage in 2 Corinthians 4, he draws a parallel between Genesis 1 and what happens in the lives of people who come to know Christ. And he says there in verse 6 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So Paul takes this account that they knew well, that in the beginning God created the light, and he points out to the people here in this church at Corinth. He says that's just like God bringing light to you, spiritual light. In the same way that God brings physical light into the world in the beginning, he is on a day-by-day basis in this world, in this city, in this country, he is bringing light spiritually to people. Now, there was a time when you didn't know God, and God has been bringing spiritual light to you. Now, as you walk with him as believers, God is still bringing you spiritual light by his Spirit through the Word of God. So that's what Paul uses as a picture here. Now let's go back to the account in Genesis 1 and begin to look through and see some of the things that are clear for us here. The Inupang people would hear this in their language like this. Tupa Ari Sampenetan Tigepang God Knepang. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when we first began to teach that, they were amazed at who God is. In these first five verses of the Bible, there are so many characteristics of God. Who is God? What is God like? These verses are packed with truths about God and His nature. And perhaps sometimes, like people in this country now, those who have no knowledge of God, if you talk to them about Jesus Christ, that's all very well, but why should they listen to Jesus Christ? Why should they believe who Jesus Christ is? Why should they believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins? What are sins? What is this God that Jesus Christ is His Son? If we, for example, had taught them John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the first thing they would have asked was, who is God? What is God like? Then they would have said, well, does God have a son? Oh, so God has a wife. Does God have other sons? These are the kind of questions that the people in our village would ask if we just started off with John 3:16. And so because of that, we began right back in the beginning here with God revealing Himself for who He is. Now, it says there that it was in the beginning. And this is the first awesome thing they began to understand about God. God is eternal. God has always existed. Just think about that for a moment. God has always been there. Somebody says, well, who made God? No one. God has always been there. We were explaining, God has no father. He has no mother. In fact, God is separate from time. Time is something that God made. God Himself is outside of time. To God, today and yesterday and tomorrow is the same. He doesn't change. He's outside. And yet you and I, because we live all the time in time, it's hard for us to understand. How can God be eternal? That's who God is. He's eternal. He's always been. He's always existed. And you know what? He's never going to end. He's the only thing that will always be apart from His Word and ourselves sitting in this room. God is, in the beginning, God. And that word God, as you know, is Elohim. It means it's God, but it's plural. And as we were teaching the people, we just pointed that out to them and said, you know, that in the beginning, God, and here, God is more than one. But God is one. Well, that'll become clear a little bit later on. So we find out in the beginning there's God. And then what did God? God created the heavens and the earth. So we have time in the beginning. We have God created the heavens, the space, and the earth, matter. And so we have God creating time, space, and matter. So, not only is God awesomely powerful, but God is also a scientist. God happens to know how this universe works because He made it. He made it by speaking, by His power. And later in verse 2, you'll find out that God, through the Spirit of God, was hovering over the face of the waters. God was ready to move, to begin to act. God was going to put into this universe energy, force. He was going to make and create things. As we explained who God is, the people began to feel in awe of Him. They said, wow, God is not like we thought. One of the things we did in the 6 months before we began teaching is we went round from hamlet to hamlet and we asked the people questions. And we got them trying to think about what they believed and why. And one of the questions we asked them was, who is God and what is God like? Now, the people were very confused on that. Some people said, well, maybe God is a man like us. Some people said, no, God is not a man. God is like, some people thought, well, God is a dog. And other people said, well, no, that we have a story about creation, how a dog and a chicken got together and the first people came out. And maybe God was something there like that in the beginning. Other people said, no, they said, God is an old man and he lives in a house and he eats tuna fish and rice. Now, you might wonder the bizarre choosing of foods there, but that's their perfect food. Occasionally, they go to town and they bring back a bale of rice and some tuna fish, and they'll sell it in the village, and that is their idea of the perfect food, the heavenly food. Anyway, because of that, they thought, well, God has, that's what he does. He eats this kind of food. He has a body like we do. So you see, their understanding of God was so far from the truth that that's where we began to teach. But we come back to this country, are we that different? If I go out that door and I go down the street and I start speaking to people in the street,